The death of God is about the drying up of a horizon of meaning and of a whole form of human life.
Where do we stand in the illusion it makes? What kind of space are we invited into?
The material relations between people become social relations between things. When we look at toasters, corn, and TVs,
to a large extent, live in the interregnum between worlds, if you will, or between paradigms. Not many people in the history of the world have faced that.
Zero Squared is the Zero Books podcast. An anonymous member of Lefty Pole is the guest on this week's Zero Books podcast. According to the website Know Your Meme, Lefty Pole consists of users who sympathize with communist ideology and viewpoints. Although many of the memes are centered around the USSR and Albania, almost all the users are opposed to both the Soviet Union and Hoxhayism. The board is also associated with the USSC, the Union of Soviet Socialist Chans. It's Wednesday, August 9th, 2017, and I'm Douglas Lane, the host of this podcast and the publisher of Zero Books. If you're looking for something to read, some Zero Books titles to check out include Angela Nagel's book Kill All Normies, Joanna Dimmer's Anatomy of a Thought Fiction, That Existential Leap, a Crime Story by Dolan Cummings, and Stephen Lee Nash's Deconstructing Dirty Dancing. If you enjoy the podcast, consider joining the Zero Books Club. Zero Books Club members receive access to a Saturday podcast entitled Inside Zero Books, which sometimes features the second half of conversations with Zero Squared guests, and sometimes features conversations with Zero Books readers about the state of the left. Zero Books Club members are also invited to participate in YouTube workshops with Zero Books authors and others. The music you're listening to right now is the Russian Federation's national anthem, but in just a moment, you'll hear a dank interview with an anonymous member of Lefty Pole. Usually I start with the person's bio, but I don't have one for you because you're anonymous.
That's correct.
Yeah. So instead, maybe I can just ask you, can I ask you how old you are?
I'm going to say in my 20s.
Okay. And how long have you been on 8chan?
How long have I been on 8chan? I've been on 8chan practically for as long as Lefty Pole has been on 8chan, which is 3 or 4 years, roughly.
Okay. Well, listen, let's just jump into this, because I'm interested in Lefty Pole. I feel as though Lefty Pole is a hot potato, you know, that it's not as you can be on Lefty Pole and not be tarred as part of the alt-right, but there's a tendency to look at Lefty Pole very skeptically, you know, worrying about basically right-wing entryism through Lefty Pole or something like that. I think that would be a common worry.
That is indeed a common worry. It's really hard to pin Lefty Pole down when you're not a part of it, and even then, saying being a part of Lefty Pole is really hard to say, because it's not really a community, because you're anonymous and even if we can call it a community, you're part of the community for as long as your posts are there, and even then they're anonymous. So you have to really be in Lefty Pole, and then the point it's at there, you know, in that moment in time and what the most like hegemonic ideas are, and then it's never going to be like one dominant idea, left idea. But I'd say that ultimately, actually reactionary ideas, like right-wing ideas, are not popular. They exist, you know, like constantly, either in really small minorities or because Nazis are raiding us.
We'll get to that in just a moment, but I wanted to tell you my own history on social media. Because, you know, I'm a completely different generation. I'm an old guy now. It's hard for me to accept, but it's happened. And so, my whole approach to social media is probably very different from a Channer's approach to this kind of media. So, I got involved early on in, the late 90s, early 2000s with something called LiveJournal. And I did it as me. You know, I didn't do it anonymously or with a pseudonym because I was writing short fiction and I wanted people to know about me. So social media was a way to promote myself. And that the only reason I would ever really be on social media, the whole time I've been on social media, has always been to promote either a book I'm writing or a podcast I'm doing or a book someone else has written or some ideas I had. But that's it. It was never about being part of a community, right? But 8chan and 4chan has completely the opposite approach.
It's funny you say it because when you talk about how you were on LiveJournal, and I guess LiveJournal can be categorized as, you know, the traditional blogs. There's also WordPress and Blogger, which fit that.
LiveJournal was more like a community, more like social media than a regular blog because you had friends that would follow your blog and you would follow theirs. You could go to your follower list and you would then see their blogs and they would go to theirs and they'd see yours. It was a little closer to Facebook than a blog.
Then perhaps I would say it's like, basically it's kind of like how you have Tumblr now, but it's before Tumblr and less like Tumblr because Tumblr is more modern and it has a sort of an artsy type of direction already in it, whereas LiveJournal is just whatever. But I'd say that LiveJournal is a third category. If you have places like Reddit and Twitter and Tumblr even, they're different from LiveJournal because LiveJournal, if it's all about you and what you write rather than as you as part of the community, then that would be more Reddit, Twitter, etc. And then the third category would be image boards like LeftyPoll, where anonymity is complete, where that is everything.
And so the point of anonymous media like that, an anonymous board like that, is really to exchange information and often, you know, images or links, right?
Yeah, it's actually just for sharing stuff.
Right.
Sharing opinions, but, I mean, it's an image board, so there's a heavy focus on expressing with images or just sharing images, but it's also communicating, etc. But I think it's there's an interest in image boards that are anonymous because you can basically anything goes, anything ever, depending on what board, of course, you're in, where there's a type of direction a certain board goes into. But I'd say it's really chaotic, actually. That's how I'd characterize it.
What the hell do you think you're doing? Dragging your butt through the day, selling body and soul to a bunch of bland normals? Acting stupid so they'll think you're one of them? Tired of getting all of the guilt, but none of the sex? There is a simple answer, dear friend. A glowing beacon of slack amidst the turmoil and darkness. It's J.R. Bob Dobbs, the living slack master in his Church of the Subgenius. Bob brings a new destiny for the abnormal. For Bob comes to justify our sins, to unmask the conspiracy, and to get us back the slack they stole away. It's us versus them. Are you gonna fry in hell on earth alongside the pink boys, or will you pull the wool over your own eyes and accept Bob into your mind? Repent, quit your job, slack off, and praise Bob!
Church of the Subgenius, eternal salvation, or triple your money back.
So, okay, yeah. Now, LeftyPoll is on 8chan.
Correct.
What is the difference between 8chan and 4chan? Is it just 4chan twice over, or what is the difference?
I'd say 8chan exists to accompany a certain demand that 4chan at a certain point could no longer offer. The origins of 8chan or at least the popularity of 8chan starts really sadly with a lot of reactionary politics and really disgusting things. So 4chan and 8chan both house, for example, a poll board, which is the politics board, which is for most of its existence been really reactionary. But at a certain point on 4chan, it hits sort of the limit how far it could go. So now on 4chan, it's reactionary, but it's like civic nationalists mostly. Whereas on 8chan, it's like full-blown ethno-nationalists. But then again on 4chan, you know, the reactionary sentiment is really dominant everywhere. So Leftypol can only exist on 8chan too as its own board, fighting off mostly reactionary politics around it.
Now, why can't Leftychan exist on 4chan? Just because it would get shouted down, or just what would be the limit?
So for a little backstory, Leftypol started getting populated mostly with people from the /lit/ board on 4chan, which is the literature board, literature and philosophy. And at a certain point, the reactionary politics of Pol started really like pressuring on the, I don't mean to like really be a dick or anything, but literature and books and like philosophy and all that stuff is pretty generally very left, let's say. So when Pol started, let's say, infesting the rest of the board, and really Pol is pretty hated everywhere, but no other boards, unfortunately, can resist it. When that started happening, a lot of people from Lit went over to Leftypol. And they went over to Leftypol, and Leftypol had to be created. That did not exist on 8chan, and it was created by someone who made it themselves, not a like someone officially. Exactly, because on 8chan, you can make your own boards. You can make a board for anything, and that. No, 4chan, the type of boards existing, the way they're moderated, etc., is pretty much entirely at the discretion of the people who own the board or who own the whole website. So 8chan is kind of like Reddit in that you can make your own communities, which are like self-managed as such.
I'm beginning to see the difference between 8chan and 4chan. 8chan is more of a free-for-all. You can create your own boards. It's more user-directed. And it's less moderated, is my understanding. So
that's correct. Yes. Yeah.
So as long as what's on 8chan is within the bounds of the law, it can stay.
That's actually, I'm afraid to say that 8chan, the owners of the website go so far in letting anything go that, like really disgusting shit like child porn boards, or like child porn in general, just exist there. There are boards where it gets posted and it can stick around very long. And I don't know exactly how, like, you know, the legal apparatuses of the state deal with that, how the law deals with that, but it's there. And yeah, it's definitely there. And the owners of the website don't encourage it or like discourage it. It exists there, sadly.
Like, if you have enemies on 8chan, like Leftypol does, one of their tactics might be to dump a bunch of child porn onto the Leftypol. Does that ever happen?
No. I don't think we've ever been raided with child porn because, I mean, our biggest enemy is Pol, like reactionaries. And their whole obsession is mostly with, you know, the whole concept of cucking, like everyone who doesn't agree with them secretly. Secretly wants their wives to have like sex with black men or something, and they enjoy it. So they won't raid us with child porn, but they will like pretty convincingly, pretty coincidentally, have like 2 terabytes of porn featuring black men on in them to post to us for the purpose of just shitposting, I guess. So yeah, we get raided with black porn. We get raided with gore images. We get raided with images of dead Soviet soldiers. We get raided with edits of military dictator Pinochet depicted as a Pepe. The most ridiculous things, basically. And Pol does this tactic with many other places, too. I mentioned this in our back and forth, but the way they dealt, for example, with a GOP senator talking trash about the alt-right, saying they were like childless single men who masturbate to anime, was to go to his Twitter profile and first look up his name, look up his relatives, print pictures of his daughter and his wife, ejaculate on them, make a picture and send them to his Twitter. So they're pretty obsessive and disgusting. Like, they don't do child porn, but they do pretty disgusting shit nonetheless.
How is it, do you think, that these different platforms take on ideologies? I mean, 4chan is known as kind of a reactionary board. 8chan is basically the borderline illegal or to illegal board, where you can have outright Nazis, you can have outright commies, you can have pedophiles, anything goes on 8chan, I guess. And then you have Tumblr and you have Facebook, and it seems like different ideologies glom on to these different platforms. Why do you think that is? And is it something as simple as just the fact that 8chan is unmoderated and anonymous that brings out these right-wing nut jobs?
So I'm going to go pretty far in my analysis here and say that I would think that if you look at, for example, Tumblr, that starts out in a format that accompanies a certain style of posting. It makes call-out culture really like easy. I mean, all you have to do on Tumblr to call someone out is post the picture with the proper hashtags and the proper mentions, and it just happens. There's no real depth there. It's like, it's no wonder that it's really easy for, like, I mean, they're probably left, and lefty people, for example, wouldn't consider them left because they don't care about class, for example, but they're left, and it's sort of like a left identity politics thing, like, really reigns there because it accommodates it. But I don't think that's like a deterministic thing, because on Reddit, for example, you also have various communities, but as you mentioned, it's really like the rational skeptic types roam there. But does that really have anything to do with Reddit the way Reddit is, or does it really more have to do with how it starts? You know, because Reddit isn't just Reddit. Reddit came from Digg, and, you know, D-I-G-G, which was really like late Digg was basically what Reddit ended up looking like for most of the part. And I think on 8chan you find anything, but also predominantly Nazis, because the Nazis can't be full-blown Nazis on 4chan, so they find their happiness in a more permissive image board format. But then again, still, 8chan, by its very nature, that you can do anything and make your own, like, boards, still has everything. So what I'd say is that it's a combination of, like, where do certain communities start, you know? Like, what is, like, the original population of a certain medium, and how does it develop off that? And also, how does that particular medium accommodate certain types of politics, like, innately? For example, Twitter. I remember an article a few, like, almost 2 years ago by Slavoj Žižek, where he confronted a critic on one of his articles, and he mentioned that a lot of his critics are just, like Twitter leftists who just post like short, you know, like edgy quips that you don't need more than 140 characters for. So Twitter and the left is just a really bad, it just creates something awful. Just, you know, it's not constructive. The very way the medium is like restricted promotes certain type of behavior. And, you know, the more that grows in one part,
get are a bunch of hot takes on Twitter.
Exactly. It's hot take central.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. Now I'm thinking about how, you know, politics happen in these spaces and how there's been at various times a lot of excitement about, say, Twitter or Facebook. During the Arab Spring, there was talk that that was a social media revolution, that what brought people together and Tahrir Square was the social media they had and the Twitter followers they had and the way they could orchestrate and communicate in real time. But it seems like the other thing that goes on in these spaces is a lot of identity formation, which I guess you have to do when you're creating communities, especially, you know, you need identity formation and affiliation in order to orchestrate and organize action.
Yeah.
But all of these different platforms, at the same time that they bring people together and help them to form identities and group cohesion and organizations, they also put certain ideological limits on what kinds of organizations can be formed. Like, I would think that Tumblr would be very bad at actually organizing anything. Even like a flash mob might be hard for Tumblr to pull off. Whereas for 4chan, a flash mob would be easy, and Twitter probably wouldn't be that hard either.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, do you remember what's his name again? I think he's most famous for playing a lead male role in Transformers.
Oh,
what is his name?
Oh yeah, I did a video about him. Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, right? Him.
Yeah.
So he had that whole "He Will Not Divide Us" thing.
Yeah.
Where he like on random places placed a camera, and 4chan, just the way the medium functions, you can make these really hot and active threads in which anonymous people will like. It went as far as finding the camera using like star formations in the sky. It's insane.
Right.
I mean, these people are reactionaries, but they know their way around it. Tumblr would just, you know, make like I can't even comments about how funny it is and mention one another. But on 4chan, things go really fast. If you politicize an issue and it takes off, then things really happen. And I think on Twitter, for example, it's hard for something like that to happen because again, it's hot take central.
Right.
You just make the commentary and it gets popular, and that doesn't generate more than just hot takes another hot take.
And the content doesn't stay in one place, so you're talking about little tweets that just float away into the ether, and then somebody else might say something. And of course, you can use a hashtag, I suppose, to aggregate it all together, on one topic. But even then, it everything goes by so fast. There's no archive of information. There's no way to easily refer to what other people have discovered. And on a Chan board, you could do that more easily.
Well, I would say not, because I don't know. I'm not sure if you know how it works, but on image boards, anonymous image boards, when a thread doesn't get enough attention at a certain point, and it comes like after like, I don't know, I think it's a 200 thread limit per board for most. For example, imagine if a certain thread is at the 200th position of being engaged, it didn't get bumped, and a new thread is made, that 200 thread just dies unless someone consciously archived it using the website's archive function or not. But
oh, so if you just save the link, you can't go back to it after that point.
No, you'd have to use something like Wayback Machine or archive.org to like make a snapshot of the entire page and save it. And that happens. But that's not really the nature of how discussion goes. Discussion really transforms and can be so spontaneous precisely because there's no consensus, I guess, and no identity formation, because Twitter doesn't have perhaps a sort of conscious knowledge of the latest topic, but it has knowledge of the latest hot take, which is always associated with certain ideologies and their identities. For example, on Lefty Poll, even on just Lefty Poll, the positions change all the time. For example, when Sanders was running and he was doing well and it seemed like he was doing good commentary on like identity, like he was saying enough with the race baiting, and we have to confront the 1% and stuff. Like that was almost like a sort of utopian spark we liked. But the second like it became apparent that he is also just a social democrat limited by bourgeois democracy and whatever, like his popularity quickly dwindled, and now we're back to like three, like the big ideas are like, Leninist class party politics or anarchist organization, or maybe like communization theory is kind of popular, etc. Opinions change, topics change, etc. But it's really like the way that manages to constantly be fresh and new, yet really like authentic, I think, again, is the medium. You're anonymous, and there's like, you can do whatever. You can really just do whatever.
If you have anything you want to say to us here on Database, and you're connected to the Prestel service, you can use the Database mailbox. Pat Green is still with us in North London, and she's going to demonstrate this facility by sending us a message. Hello, Pat.
Hello, Jane.
Can you find page 7776, please? And now would you like to send us a message?
Yes, I will.
All your base are belong to us. You are on the way for destruction.
What do you say?
You have no chance to survive, made your time. Ha ha ha.
What's most on your mind about Lefty Pol and about the political moment that we're in?
I think if today you're a worker with internet access and basically you're trying to get to grips with your conditions of existence, the very way in which the larger like sects of the left advertise themselves in, you're not going to find any representation or even a place to challenge your ideas or to get introduced. You're just going to get called out, and slowly that's going to mean a drift towards the reactionaries. And it's funny how the reactionaries of today, like Sargon of Akkad, today, Sargon of Akkad on Twitter will say, I'm not a fascist, but I like fascism because it kills the commies. Wow. And it saves liberalism. I'm not kidding. But 5 years ago, Sargon was your standard, I don't want to be too denigrating, but your standard rational skeptic on YouTube, making fun of creationists, whatever. And I think already people like Sargon or the skeptic community, basically when they tried to go beyond that and they tried to really critique everything, they stumbled upon a left already at the time that was really unwelcome to really asking the questions. And if you want to be part of that left, you have to surrender almost everything. You have to basically adopt the identity politics line. You have to like not talk about class or just vaguely mention it or not essentialize it. Or you're not even allowed to put it as a primary thing. You're not allowed to critique certain topics. Quite ironically, the same person just telling us that he likes fascism situationally because it kills commies is also going to tell you I say gas the Jews today because of people like you, you know, the leftists, whatever, the SJWs, let's call them. And I think somewhere he's right. I mean, when you have a left that is so large, and of course it doesn't excuse it. Like, it doesn't excuse being an actual fascist. Of course not. I'm just saying that in a certain way, the internet left produces them because they can't find a place on that internet left. So where does Lefty Pol come in? Lefty Pol comes in at the part where you have a left where everything does go. But it's sadly also just on the fringes of the internet, on an anonymous image board. So,
well, the problem there is that, okay, well, the problem there is that you're open for entryism. I mean, here's what I've discovered as someone who very much got fed up with a certain kind of call out politics.
Oh yeah, let me just interject here. Yeah, okay. I mean, you're part of that minority. Of people who managed to build up a like fairly small but loud like left space where you do get a certain like authentically revolutionary type of politics that isn't constrained to certain dogmas and certain like fetishizations of like a certain attitude you have to have, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But the thing about trying to build that sort of space and take that position, and it is that it's a dangerous move. It's not that staying with the left as it is isn't dangerous. It's extremely dangerous. But there is a mechanism in place online, and I think in the media overall, that is very good at shifting people who were on the left over into the right once they start criticizing, let's just say, SJWs. You see it happening to someone like Brett Weinstein at Evergreen College. He had his run-in with call-out culture. He's a liberal of some kind, probably more centrist than he thinks, right? He seems to be infected with a kind of libertarian monetary focus. Like he'd think it's if we change the money supply or the form of money, that will create utopia. Go ahead.
I have to be honest and tell you that I didn't really like in much detail follow this, but I think I know where you're going.
Yeah.
And that's
you end up on Gadsad's show. If you're, you end up in the little anti-social justice warrior universe, mostly on YouTube, but also places like Fox News, and you get sucked into the right, either used to as for their propaganda or becoming a mouthpiece for them.
Well, that's just like I said. If this happens to celebrity professors, like you said, or professors turn celebrity professor, then it happens, just like I just said, to like your average worker looking online for a place to like drop his roots. He just gets sucked in to a certain part, and that's a large part because there's a force pushing him away on like the internet left, and there's a force sucking him in on the right. So it's you have to start off, if you really want to enter the internet politics, you have to know beforehand what all the attitudes are, and otherwise you're just going to end up basically on the right.
Yeah, this is the risk that you run when you start to push against the established left as it is. And the established left, I would say, runs all the way from, I'll say, Noam Chomsky to the right. That may be too limited, but...
Popular left, at
popular
least.
Popular left, yeah. So there it is a very risky thing, and it's a risk that I run, and I think it's probably a risk that the lefty poll runs even more, that there's more of a risk for lefty poll to get infected because people are anonymous, because there's no way to maintain an identity or a real deep cohesion, and there's no, little dictator like me who's in charge. You run the risk of slowly watching your board transform into something like a national Bolshevik board or something. And by the way, that's another term that I think lefty poll is instantly identified with, is that you're all a bunch of national Bolsheviks over there, basically.
Well,
yeah, go ahead.
I might surprise you here, but that's actually a fear over time I've completely lost. What happens on lefty poll is since it's like its most imminent quality is trying to be a left that is both against the right as well as against they would just call them pseudo left or just liberals. Like on lefty poll, if your discourse isn't like at least 50% class, maybe even like at least 60% class, if you don't put class as a central point, you're not a leftist. I mean, I'm not sure if that's entirely historically accurate, but on lefty poll, reactionary ideas are so shunned that no matter how many times poll has rated us over the years, we've only grown also scarier to poll because they notice that nothing works against us. And you mentioned the NASBOL and like national Bolshevism. I think that's typical of the identitarian left to just find a sort of like snappy descriptor and never really have to challenge that description because, I mean, then you just break the mode of their discourse, which is just putting a label on it, like it's not us, so don't engage it, just shun it. But on the topic of national Bolshevism for just a few seconds, that thing is like, it's a running gag on the board. I mean, I think it belongs in the same basket as Hoxhaism and like bunkers and like Posadism and like space nuclear Holocaust communism and stuff like that. Like, there might be two legitimate Nazbols, but if they go too far, then one of the volunteers will ban them. They get called out all the time. It's a thing where you just ironically make a joke about it, and that's it. And I think if there's one fear you could have is that Nazbol jokes, you know, stop being a joke. And like, you know, that famous quote that often gets misattributed to, I think, Voltaire is like, people who pretend to be idiots will soon no longer be pretending to be idiots.
Right. I don't think there's a book called Mother Night by Kurt Vonnegut, which is all about the idea that you are what you pretend to be. And in fact, the example is, it's an American spy who infiltrates the Nazis and becomes a propagandist for the Nazis, you know, in English, the English language propagandist for them. And at the end of the war, you know, it's found out that he was actually an American spy the entire time. And his Nazi friends say, oh, yeah, well, it doesn't matter. You were the best propagandist we had. You know,
whatever you know how you did funny them, that is?
Yeah, go ahead.
That literal pattern is often what is hypothesized made Pol such a reactionary place. Because 4chan Pol, before being /Pol/, was /new/, which was a place for news. And you know that, I think you should probably know it. It's like one of those like caricatures of a Jew rubbing his hands.
Yeah, yeah.
That was basically one of the most spammed images on that board ever. Like, if there exist archives of just about any given thread on that board, it would just be 50% pictures of that or edits of that. And it in my mind, that always started out as a joke. It was a joke. And there's threads from actual like Nazi forums like Stormfront, where you see people discussing like, hey, there's people posting anti-Semitic comments and images on that board. We should go there and propagandize it. So much of the reactionary origins of 4chan at least were ironic and developed as such really by a sort of like external force amplifying it and making it genuine.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, that's something that Angela Nagel talks about, ironic stance that people had, just basically being as nasty and as reactionary and as Nazi-like as they could be just to get a reaction, that slowly transformed into some sort of real ideology. And also, you know, the ideology was already there as well. But what do you think protects Lefty Pol from that kind of problem when it comes to, say, joking around about national Bolshevism? Or, in my case, I think what I'm most likely to slowly over time actually become is a Posadist, with the UFO landing platform in my backyard or something.
Yeah, just end it all.
Well, not the nuclear war part, but the aliens landing is really attractive to me.
Just saving you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hello there. I'm sure that it won't surprise you one bit. You already know this on some level when I tell you that the media has failed you. That's what the inaugural broadcast, podcast, video, whatever the hell you want to call it, of this project, Posadist Rebel News, will be about. But I am getting ahead of myself. I must introduce myself for those of you who have not seen me around the interwebs. I am Comrade Communicator, your Comrade Communicator, of the Intergalactic Workers League. And I want to extend my comradely greetings to every conscious Posadist within the sound of my voice, as well as all of you terrestrial leftists who don't quite know that you're Posadists yet. And to all ships at sea.
Just saying that being ironic necessarily produces something genuine sounds very much like, you know, like very like liberal Lord of the Flies type.
Yeah.
Like underneath it all, everyone's bad and like it's everyone's a fascist if you just give them an inch. I don't believe that. And I think that on poll, I think there's evidence enough to suggest that there's at least a good possibility that it became genuine through external white nationalist propagandizing. But also on poll, I mean, on 4chan before that, I would actually characterize the origins of 4chan as very centrist or even left, because we shouldn't forget that 4chan was established by a guy who used to sit on a forum that is now known as SJW Central, which is something awful forums. And I mean, it was mostly for the discussion of anime and, you know, Japanese culture for Western people on an anonymous image board. But the random board quickly became a sort of like shock humor for the lulz. Like that entire for the lulz thing starts in the random board on 4chan. And I think the first real like big political things, like, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but Project Chanology was a big thing. Was a big project to troll the Church of Scientology, because they thought that the Church of Scientology was just, you know, big money trying to find ways not to pay their taxes and just convert people to their stupidity, etc. And I would say that, I mean, today we have what is called Anonymous, you know, this like ooh hacker group thing. That at least its name has its origins in Anonymous. Anonymous, as in any user ever on the internet is anonymous. That was the idea. And it was against injustice, against globalization, not in a reactionary way, against globalization, against war, like anti-war, anti-neocon especially, yeah, stuff like that.
In
so,
this last election, it was really interesting. Anonymous seemed to either be split. It probably was fractured in a million different ways, but there were videos going up in the name of Anonymous supporting Donald Trump. There are videos going up in the name of Anonymous supporting Hillary Clinton. There are videos going up in the name of Anonymous denouncing Julian Assange. There are videos going up in the name of Anonymous celebrating Julian Assange.
Let me just tell you is that, like I said, Anonymous, like original Anonymous, was this sort of like centrist, just against injustice, maybe even leftist. But the name Anonymous, first of all, like a few years into Anonymous, when it may have still been centrist left, it was being said that it got so influential that probably some alphabet soup agency was starting to get involved, and it stopped really being the original Anonymous, which is why today, if you're some edgy hacker kid and you want to make a video, like, beware ISIS, we're coming for you, we're going to troll you by sending you pictures of a turd or whatever, you can just say that's Anonymous. So Anonymous today is, it's no longer what it was. It doesn't really necessarily come from image boards anymore, and it's more like a sort of pop icon anyone can use. So when you see videos of Anonymous saying, being pro-Trump, I don't think that has anything to do anymore with the original Anonymous, just like anything from the original 4chan is almost not like identifiable with like today's versus the old 4chan, I would say.
So what kind of activity is coming out of the chans now? I mean, I know that 4chan and 8chan were both blamed for the kind of trolling and doxing and vicious attacks that people, that gaming journalists and people who were liberals in the gaming community faced during Gamergate. And that Gamergate is sort of blamed on 4chan and 8chan. Is that kind of organized trolling still coming out of the chans? And does Lefty Poll organize those kinds of raids itself?
Well, you mentioned Gamergate, and Gamergate definitely is a big part of the like split between like a bunch of members or a bunch of users from 4chan to 8chan. 8chan actually originally, if there's like three big things that motivated the creation of a website like 8chan and basically motivated a large migration towards there or a large population, it would be Gamergate, which 4chan no longer tolerated because it was everywhere, basically. And it was said that Moot was a cuck, like Moot being the original owner at the time, being a cuck who was like pro-SJW. And so there's that Gamergate element, which is strong in the origins of 8chan, many boards at least. There's the white nationalism not being able to go far enough. And there's the outright illegal shit like pedophilia. So organized trolling really did have a big nucleus on 8chan for Gamergate and both for Pull. Gamergate kind of died. It died first on 8chan, then went on Reddit. And even on Reddit, it's kind of dead. But Pull on 8chan still trolls heavily. Like, Pull on 8chan is very influential on the Donald Trump subreddit on Reddit. They basically made sure that, or at least whether consciously or not, a lot of their trolling fueled like the rising popularity of that subreddit. And that subreddit was legitimately influential on the outcoming of the elections, with like organized trolling against, like, you know, the whole Pizzagate thing, for example, like also inspired a lot of trolling. You know, many conspiracy theories and things like that. Like, there is a lot of trolling on the chans, or that's being done through the chans. And I think it's only been more, but it's been really politicized, just as image boards over time have become politicized in a reactionary way generally. Like, Leftypool is still the exception there. It's actually the complete opposite. And does Leftypool troll? Leftypool does not really troll. I mean, it's too small, and the only like organized type of trolling it's only done recently, when Pull kind of got scared that we got big, and started like mass flagging one of our content creators' most popular channels and got it taken down. So in reaction to that, we organized threads to take one of theirs down, and then, you know, that's kind of a thing now, but that's I think the first thing we've ever done on Leftypool.
What did you get taken down? What did Leftypool go after, or do you want to say?
So they took down a guy called Batko the Anarchist.
Oh yeah, I follow his YouTube channel. Did it go away?
The original's gone. The original's gone. That's Pull's doing.
Oh wow. Okay.
So they did that, and we found out it was them because, I mean, they always tell us we're cucks and the left can't meme and whatever, but they're kind of afraid when there's a left channel that isn't as easy to pin down and make fun of, you know, like identitarian left.
Yeah.
Because, and so they get kind of scared. You can tell they're sort of scared because we're growing as a board. We're a top three board now in population and average posting.
Uh-huh.
We have fairly popular YouTube channels, so they tried to take it down, and they did so successfully. And then what we did, personally, I'm anonymous. I could say I participated, but I didn't participate at all. But yeah, basically a part of Leftypool organized and took down a channel called Cultured Thug, and they managed to delete enough videos on a channel called Murdoch Murdoch that person had to like make private all of their videos. So we have the numbers and the discipline and the organization to do shit as well, even though we're not proactive in it.
Okay. And then that's not your favorite tactic, but you just felt like you kind of were pulled onto this battlefield and you had to retaliate.
Basically, like, at least that was like the board sentiment of the collective, I guess, at the time. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure I agree with that. You know, but I have to think about that. I mean, I can definitely, I guess I understand it in terms of just like a sort of certain kind of honor among thieves or you know, mob mentality. They hit you, you hit back twice as hard.
You said you wanted to know how to get Capone. Do you really want to get him? You see what I'm saying? What are you prepared to do?
Everything within the law.
And then what are you prepared to do? If you open the ball on these people, Mr. Nash, you must be prepared to go all the way. Because they won't give up the fight until one of you is dead.
I want to get Capone. I don't know how to get him.
Want to get Capone? Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way. And that's how you get Capone. Now, do you want to do that? Are you ready to do that? I'm making you a deal. Do you want this deal?
I have sworn to put this man away with any and all legal means at my disposal, and I will do so.
Well, the Lord hates a coward. Do you know what a blood oath is, Mr. Ness?
Yes.
Good. Because you just took one.
This is a big disclaimer here, but I mean, this is just my opinion, right? I'm sort of a representative, but I'm also myself, right, for the board. But that's why I didn't participate either. I don't care enough about it. And I also think it's they take one of us, we take two of them, and then that just creates a snowball effect where, you know, there's actually the scary possibility that we might become like a vigilante mob collective. Like, that's an actual – we could just turn into basically anti-identitarian left that still does the same tactics as the identitarian left, but in its – like on its own accords, on its own – this is annoying. We have to get it taken down. You know, I don't agree with that, and I hope – it doesn't look like it's still ongoing, but I hope it doesn't pick up again, personally.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a real danger. And you know, because you are kind of what you do and not what you think you are.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're materialists.
Yeah. Well, this has been a really interesting conversation.